98Q Country. Today's favorites and yesterday's classics. 98Q Country.
98.3 FM WCQM, Park Falls, Wisconsin. The Park Falls Community Broadcasting Corporation. 98Q Country.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. President Biden will host the Ukrainian president at the White House next week. The Thursday meeting comes as the administration is pushing Congress for billions more in additional funding for Ukraine. Kansas will no longer change people's birth certificates to the opposite sex. Republican State Attorney General Chris Kobach said not only does the law prevent new changes, it will require the state to reverse any previous changes made to its records. No one's saying why, but one person involved with January 6th was convicted and sentenced in secret.
Samuel Lazar was arrested in July of 2021, charged with coming to the Capitol on January 6th and using chemical spray on officers. There is no public record of a conviction or a sentence in the Pennsylvania man's court docket. The Bureau of Prisons tells the AP Lazar was released this week from federal custody and had been sentenced in March to 30 months in prison. Questions about Lazar's case have been swirling for months. The Justice Department refused to say why the case remains under wraps. Lazar's attorneys have not responded. Court hearings and records are supposed to be open and available to the public and the press unless there's a compelling need for secrecy. Ed Donahue, Washington.
California is going to spend millions in an effort to combat smash-and-grab robberies.
Nearly $270 million in grants will be distributed to 55 local law enforcement agencies and district attorney's offices aimed at stemming the plague that's hurt businesses and luxury stores in the state. The money will help create investigative units, increase police foot patrols, purchase new surveillance technology and equipment, and fund special units in district attorney's offices dedicated to prosecuting those crimes. Democrat Governor Newsom says tackling such thefts is a priority for his administration. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
It's Gorka here, and I want to talk to you for a minute about 100% drug-free Relief Factor. I've been taking Relief Factor for years now to help me deal with pain in my body. My wife takes it as well. The reason we tell everyone we know about it is simple. We found it really works to help our bodies fight off the inflammation that causes aches and pains. Whether it's the pain of injuries you've sustained or just the natural pains from the mileage over the years, Relief Factor can help. I've never looked back. Almost 70% of the more than 500,000 people who have tried Relief Factor end up ordering more. That's because it works for them the way it works for me. Isn't it time for you to get out of pain? Your first step to becoming pain-free should be to order the 3-week quick start for the discounted price of only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out more about this offer. That's relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Feel the difference.
Correspondent Charles Deledesmo reports a red sweater adorned with a flock of sheep worn by the young Princess Diana has sold at auction for $1.1 million, many times its pre-sale estimate and a record for an item owned by the late royal.
The playfully patterned wool jumper featuring a single black sheep in a grid of white ones was bought by an unidentified bidder at Sotheby's online fashion icons sale. The auction house had valued it between $50,000 and $80,000 ahead of 2 weeks of bidding that ended on Thursday. With 15 minutes left, the highest bid stood at $190,000, but leapt to $1.1 million in the last moments. The previous record for a piece of Diana memorabilia was just over $600,000 for a ball gown sold by Sotheby's in January.
News and analysis at townhall.com. We're learning more about the convicted killer in Pennsylvania.
Danilo Cavalcante told investigators he had been planning a carjacking and wanted to flee to Canada or Puerto Rico. The 34-year-old also said he could sense law enforcement closing in and planned to get a car within 24 hours. Among other details, he says he survived on creek water and watermelon. He was taken to a state prison outside Philadelphia following his capture. He'll serve a life term for murdering an ex-girlfriend. Rich Thomason reporting.
The White House altered the transcript of a speech President Biden delivered in Maryland. The president was speaking about the economy Thursday when he said, quote, "We've seen record lows in unemployment, particularly, and I've focused on this my whole career, particularly for African Americans and Hispanic workers and veterans, you know, workers without high school diplomas," end quote. The White House, which publishes official transcripts of his speeches, changed what he said. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. Overcast today with a chance for scattered showers. High of 67, winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered rain showers again tonight. Lows around 42, partly cloudy skies. Highs level off around 63 tomorrow. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Mainly sunny skies, calm and dry. Monday, clouds on the increase by Tuesday. Mid-60s, Monday, low 70s by Tuesday. Another look at the short range. Highs reach 67 today. Lows level off around 42 tonight. We should top off around 63 tomorrow. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley. And that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, 54.
I fish, I hunt, and always will. Broadcasting from the Alclair Outdoor Studios. Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're not just a radio show anymore.
This is Sporting Journal Radio.
That's right. Thank you for being a part of the show. I'm Brett Amundson. That's Dan Amundson over there. How are you doing, Dan?
I am doing great.
Okay, good. You
can't give me a hard time.
David Eckhart's in that corner.
In this corner.
Here I am.
Wearing the Fish on Forever t-shirt available in the Sporting Journal Radio store, David Eckhart.
Part of that money goes to Stamp It Forward.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Probably should mention that.
Probably should.
Sam Soholt's doing his 100-mile ruck for the Ducks and raising money for Stamp It Forward to buy more federal duck stamps, wanting to do $100,000. Check it out. Probably publiclandtees.com.
Publiclandtees.com, and he's wrapping up this week, so... Yeah, that's finishing up. So make purchases at Public Land Tees and the Fish Hunt Forever store. Check that out at sportingjournalradio.com.
Yes, sir.
Click and on store.
What is it, the 16th? Is that the 13th
night?
Through the 16th? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
For our Fargo listeners or people around Fargo, he's going to have a party in Fargo the night of the 16th to wrap it up.
Look it up on your phones.
Yeah, we're going to probably try to join him for that, too, on our way back from Saskatchewan. So that's a good time. So go check it out. David, how are you doing over there?
Doing good.
All right. Very good. Very good. We are about to head to Saskatchewan to do some waterfowl hunting. We're very, very excited about that. And we'll talk a little bit about that this week, but you'll be seeing and hearing more about it in the next couple of weeks here on this show. This week, we're going to talk more North Dakota stuff with Kevin Kading. He is the private lands coordinator with North Dakota Game and Fish. We're going to talk about the PLOTS program, how it works, who's eligible, who funds it, who pays for it, who can hunt it, and then who can hay it or graze on it. We'll talk about that discussion, what triggers emergency haying and grazing, things like that. Also, Joe Henry's going to talk about layout boat duck hunting up at the northwest angle at Lake of the Woods here in a little bit. First, though, Dan, who are the sponsors this week?
Live Target. Match the hatch this fishing season at livetargetlures.com. Get stocked up for ice fishing, Lake of the Woods tourism. Lake of the Woods is the walleye capital of the world. Plan a trip for this fall or winter at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Haybel Heights Campground and Resort. Book a trip to Devil's Lake. Maybe fish out of a snow bear. Learn more at haybelheights.com. Ottertail Lakes Country. Find your inner otter at ottertaillakescountry.com. And Prairie Sportsman. The new season starts in January, but you can watch other episodes anytime at the Prairie Sportsman YouTube channel.
You got a future in auctioneering, Dan.
Is that right?
No.
Oh.
No, but talking very fast. Well, should I make those longer for you so you can slow down a little bit?
I don't know. Should you? Should we just get more advertisers?
Well, there's that. Yeah. If you would like to advertise on the show.
If you'd like to hear your prompt read really fast by me, let us know.
Yes. Yeah. It's all there at sportingjournalradio.com. We have a lot coming up that I'm really excited about. It's my favorite time of the year. Obviously, we're going to do some fishing, but it's transitioning to hunting season now. Some people have been out chasing huns and sharpies. The rough grouse season is getting going. People are going to be bow hunting. I'm pretty excited about. But I think what I'm really excited about for bow hunting, Dan, is that we're going to be gone for a couple of weeks, and our woods are going to get rested real hard.
We hope so, at least.
No, we hope so, yeah.
these days, you never know who's going to come waltzing through.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good thing we have spy points out there. I can tell we had so many trespassers last year on those trail cameras. It was a little frustrating, but I'm excited about that. But I'm really excited because we're going to Saskatchewan, and we're going to do some snow goose hunting up there, probably chase some cranes, maybe some specks. We shot a lot of Canadas up there last year, Dan.
Well, we were up there before the big push really happened, so we got to blast away at a lot of Canadas, and that's always fun. You know, yeah. We get to hunt them a lot here, and I think we take it for granted. Talk to guys down south. They're like, man, all I really want to do is shoot a bunch of Canada geese. I'm so sick of these specklebillies. Mm. And we're like, huh? What are you talking about? But we take it for granted how good our Canada goose hunting is here and in Canada. So we kind of get sick of it because we get to do it all the time. But it's a lot of fun.
Well, and some of those bigger Canadas don't make it down very far either.
Right. Yeah, so they get a lot of the little ones. Man, we just want some of those giant honkers.
Because they're easy.
Yeah, and we're like, no.
Lessers.
We're so sick of the giant. Yeah. Well, not sick of them. It's like, oh, look, it's another big Canada goose.
Well, we shot
coming for us.
Well, yeah.
Exactly. It's like catching walleyes. And they, I don't know where I'm going with that.
Yeah, what are you talking? You're getting sick of catching walleyes?
I'm not, but it's like a special thing for other people. It's not for us.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to catch a walleye 366 days a year. But.
Right. 366. Yeah, for sure. Me too. And we shot so many of the big honkers last year, probably the EPPs or the mid-size Canadas last year that we were letting them land. And I know, David, you're coming up with us for the first time.
Yep.
I know how you are in a goose spread, too. Like, Dan and I let a lot of them land. I have a feeling Dan and I are going to be filming and, oh, check it out, some more dark ones. And David's just going to be like, bah, 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 just banging away, smashing all of them. But,
all right, David, go ahead and shoot.
Boom, boom, boom. On the count of three, David. One, bang.
I was going to say shoot the one in the back, but you shot the one there. Anyway.
Yeah. They all fell out of the sky, David.
Just be ready. He just wants to get Tiny some work.
Yeah.
That's right. All he's trying to do.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, and we're going a little bit later this year to try to time the migration with snows and the cranes and the specks. So I'm sure we'll be shooting some darks too. It's a good time. You're gonna hate it. You're not gonna have any fun.
Not looking forward to it at all.
So we saw this. You sent us this meme the other day of salmon. It was like salmon in a river or something.
Yeah, AI prompted salmon in a river.
And what did it say? Salmon in the river, so majestic. So if you're watching this in the video right now, it's just fillets of salmon floating down the river.
And I like it that it looks like they're sizzling in a frying pan. Yeah.
And AI, so somebody submitted it to AI, said, give me a description of this or something.
Describe,
I suppose.
Describe salmon in a river.
It's an Instagram meme, Brett. We don't know all the details.
Right.
Yeah. You're asking way too many questions for what we really know
So we really don't know. But what you're saying is somebody typed in AI, show me a picture of salmon in a river.
And it's just salmon fillets.
Did you really just get that now? You need, like, how did you not get that?
Well, I got a different interpretation of a similar thing. I thought you showed AI the picture and it said salmon in a river.
Nope.
It not was a, typing it was salmon a in a river.
I mean, then it wouldn't be.
Dan, you don't know. Maybe that's what it was. Right. We just told you we don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, you're right. But I mean, I think we can use a little bit of common sense.
No, there's no common sense on this show, which is why we're going to use AI or ChatGPT right now to try to determine how we should set a snow goose spread during our trip to Saskatchewan. Dan is, how does this work? There's a ChatGPT website that you can sign up for?
Yeah, chat.openai.com. Here, I'll share the screen here in a second.
All right.
So what do we want to ask ChatGPT about hunting today?
How many decoys should I use?
Should we ask this first? I want to ask this first. What's your question? What's the question?
How should we set a decoy spread for snow geese?
David, how do you set a snow goose spread for decoys?
Either like a donut shape or a J shape, an X shape, you know, kill holes. So yeah, I'm curious to see what it's going to come.
Where do your blinds go?
Yeah, which way the wind is supposed to be, stuff like that. So I'm curious what it's going to come up with.
Brett, what do you say?
Lots of decoys and kill hole and, you know, depending on your wind, maybe looser or tighter. And, you know, I like to have some sort of U to try to, either a U or some channels to try to trickle them in. But lots of decoys and a good hide.
All right. We go to ChatGPT right now. Hello. We got to be friendly. I am going snow goose. I can't type. Hunting in Saskatchewan next week. How should I set my decoys? Setting up your decoys effectively. Oh, this is...
Wow.
We're getting
wow.
a lot.
Holy, a lot of options.
Holy smokes. Okay. This is going to be a lot to read.
Wow. Apparently other people have asked
this. Look at this. We've got 10, 11, 12. They're 12 points. Okay.
Wow.
So we start with scout the area.
Okay.
Ding.
Wow.
Wind direction. Set up your decoys with the wind at your back or at a slight angle. Snow geese typically land into the wind.
Oh, just snow geese.
I guess just snows.
Right.
I've seen some divers not land with the wind and they literally crash into the water. Fun fact. Decoy spread. Use a large number of decoys.
Okay.
Brett said that. To create a convincing spread. Snow geese often congregate in large flocks. Your spread should mimic this. The spread of several hundred decoys is not uncommon.
Oh, wow.
Mix different types of snow goose decoys, including full body shell and windsock decoys. Variety adds realism to your spread. I disagree
yeah,
with that.
I like a little bit more uniformity.
Yeah, I don't want to put a socks next to a full bodies. Realism. Place some decoys on their... Hold on. Place some decoys on their sides or partially buried in the snow to mimic resting or feeding birds. What?
Perfect. Nailed it.
Brilliant.
We've been doing it wrong all these years.
Snow geese will be more likely to land if they see what appears to be other birds already on the ground.
So we're supposed to bury our decoys.
Yeah. Well, first, let's remember we should be hunting in the snow. All right. Use flags or motion. Snow geese are more likely to be attracted to a spread with some motion.
Okay.
Use flagging or spinning wing decoys, if legal in your area, to add movement and draw them in.
You're not sharing the screen anymore.
Well, I wanted to look at our faces.
David's not even in.
Yeah, me did not.
There we go. Okay. All right. So movement. Yeah.
Create a landing zone. Leave a clear area in the middle of your spread.
Cool.
Where you want the geese to land. Make it look like a safe and inviting spot for them.
Yep.
Spacing. Space your decoys about 4 to 6 feet apart to create a realistic appearance of a feeding or resting flock.
This is crazy.
Four to six feet.
It's over. We're done.
That's accurate. Natural appearance. Okay, we're back to the natural appearance. That's because that's different than realism, guys.
Partially bury your decoy in the snow.
What in the world?
Try to make your decoy spread look as natural as possible. Pay attention to the spacing, angles, and positions of the decoys. We already know that. Concealment. Ensure you and your hunting party are well concealed and blinds are natural cover. Snow geese have sharp eyesight, so staying hidden is crucial. Calling. Use snow goose calls to mimic their vocalizations. It actually says use the DRC Nodak Snow. That's weird.
Wow.
Pay attention to the bird's behavior and adjust your calling accordingly. Sometimes less calling is more effective.
Wow.
Gosh, who wrote this? Patience.
AI,
but they learn it.
I was trying to make a joke.
They learn it from, how does it work? It crawls the web looking for info, right? And pulls and learns from what it reads.
Yeah. Last one, patience. Snow geese can be wary, so be patient. It may take time for the birds to commit to landing in your spread. Remember that success in snow goose hunting often depends on adapting to the specific conditions and the behavior of the birds on the day of the hunt. Be prepared to make adjustments to your decoy spread and tactics as needed. Additionally, always check and follow local hunting regulations and bag limits to ensure a legal and ethical hunt. Not bad.
Yeah, I thought this was going to be...
For the most part, pretty solid advice.
I thought we were going to be making fun of it a lot more.
Yeah.
There's like one thing we can make fun of.
Tip your decoys on their side and bury them in the snow.
Honestly, my favorite decoy is a windsock laying flat on the ground.
Well, that's like when people used to put trash bags out there.
Yeah, or a roll of paper towels.
Yeah. They still had to learn it from somebody that had write it originally. But now that that's out there, I mean, birds are constantly evolving, particularly snow geese, and tactics have definitely changed over the years. So I was about to say we may not need anybody writing new tips, but technology is going to change, bird behavior is going to change, habitat is going to change, so... Humans are still on top.
For dang now. It.
We're not letting AI win. Well, that was an interesting experiment, Dan.
Yeah, if there's people who want to have us see what other chat, you know, how to catch a muskie or something, or what do you want to learn from ChatGPT on Sporting Journal Radio? What's the show called?
That was way better than the majestic salmon in a stream that I thought we were going to get. ChatGPT. All right, let's talk Plotsland in North Dakota with Kevin Kading coming up, as well as Emergency Hang and Grang. We also have some hunting talk up at Lake of the Woods. What are some of the really neat waterfowl opportunities up there? We'll find out with Joe Henry coming up.
852 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt,
the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt. Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. FTAC's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and eight colors. And iCast and FTAC's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target. Northern Minnesota's Walleye Factory is a year-round world-class fishing destination. The perfect getaway this summer is just a short drive to Lake of the Woods. Fish Big Traverse Bay, the Rainy River, or visit the unique Northwest Angle. To catch big fish, you have to go where the big fish are. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Lake is legendary, and this summer has been legendary for walleyes. Don't miss out. Call Haybale Heights Campground and Resort today to book one of their modern cabins on East Bay. The cabins are furnished with a full bathroom, kitchen, and all the amenities like high-speed internet, and are clean following CDC guidelines. Staying at Haybale Heights gives you full access to a private boat launch, fish cleaning station, and beach area. Learn more at haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Plan your trip to legendary Devil's Lake today.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
All right, next up is Joe Henry here on Sporting Journal Radio. He's from Lake of the Woods Tourism, and he joins us to talk about that big walleye factory in northern Minnesota. Joe, and I know in the fall, this time of year, walleye fishing, of course, can get really good up there, and it's just going to get better over the next couple of weeks as the run progresses. But I want to talk a little bit about some of the other opportunities up there. Of course, people, we will touch on fishing the river in the fall, but last year, Dan and I had a really cool experience up at the Northwest Angle that there's only a few places in Minnesota that you can do it. I'd never done it before. We got to hunt out of some layout boats for waterfowl up there. It's just, it's another one of those opportunities up at Lake of the Woods, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, you know, and I should probably defer to you, because that layout boat hunting, that's big water hunting. And that's when you're laying back in a nice stable boat, you got decoys spread all over in front of you, and those birds are coming across that water 100 miles an hour, maybe not 100 miles an hour, but 60 miles an hour.
Sure seems like it, yeah.
I bet it does. And you know what? Talk about fun shooting. What was that experience like for you, Brad? Have you ever layout boat hunted before?
No, that was the first time I'd done it. And those boats, like you mentioned, are really stable. They're filled with so much buoyant material, foam, that I think Andy Reeves and Forrest Husett were our guides out there. And I think Andy, didn't he explain to us one time, he just stood in the middle of one, did some jumping jacks. I think he might even pulled the plug on it and did some jumping jacks.
You can't sink the things.
You can't sink
them. They're unsinkable.
So, and thankfully we had some pretty calm water, but they basically throw an anchor down behind you and maybe one in front of you as well too, depending on what kind of direction you're going to be hunting there. And then they'll put out lines of diver decoys like buffalo heads and some bluebills. And there were some other divers winging around up there. We mostly saw buffs, and buffs, like the hen buffalo head is the second smallest North American duck, with the hen green-winged teal being the smallest. So when you start talking about some of the smallest ducks out there, they look like they're going 100 miles an hour, and they sometimes are whizzing through those decoys. Like, sometimes they'll come in and land or get ready to land, and that's when you try to shoot them as they're slowing down. But sometimes they're just kind of buzzing through and trying to decide if they want to land there or not. And it is, it's an absolute riot. And we shot plenty of ducks, and then we hunted 2 days. We brought some of the guides out. Some of the, some of the deckhands out that got to do some hunting with us, and they got to experience it for the first time, and we got to see some other guys shoot some birds. It was a lot of fun, and Dan, that was your first time doing it too, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it, you always see the videos of people doing it in the East Coast. You think it's got to be this big trip that you take to go layout boat duck hunting under the ocean or Lake Michigan. Yeah. It's right here in our backyard, and it's readily accessible and easy to do for every single duck hunter in the Midwest, really.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. And of course, then we had to do a little bit of walleye fishing while we were up there, and we caught a lot of different species. Actually, we caught some smallies, we caught some perch, some walleyes, of course, that we cooked up, and then Andy caught a muskie on walleye gear while we were doing that too. So we got a little bit of everything up there at the angle last year, Joe.
Is there enough room in that layout boat for a fishing pole and
something? We talked about that. I talked about doing that. I was going to bring my flasher and an ice rod and try to jig. And I know exactly. One day we hunted right off a pretty popular spot at the angle. I know we had caught walleyes right there, but yeah. I think we forgot it in the car or something. But
that's the new goal. If we go up there and do that this year, Dan, I want to see a stringer tied off behind that.
A bunch of walleyes flopping next to the duck boat.
It's like a mojo for legal divers.
Can you hunt and fish at the same time? Is that legal?
I don't see why not.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I know guys that have done it. I don't. Yeah. I've never seen anything in the rules about it.
As long as you're not under power.
As long as you're not using two lines.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we have done it. We've done it. So we've done this, Joe, ice fishing, where geese have been flying over a frozen pond. So we'll go ice fish the pond and then have some decoys set. And once we see geese flying over, we quickly reel up, grab our flasher, run into the cattails, grab our shotguns, and try to decoy the geese onto the ice. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
But yeah, an ice rod, flasher would be a bit bulky in there maybe. But
yeah, you'd have to have the tender boat bring it to you or something to do it.
Or just like one of those real small portable units that some of those companies make, you know, the cheaper ones.
Not LiveScope.
Yeah, we are definitely LiveScoping walleyes out of a layout duck boat this fall at the Northwest Angle.
So let me ask this question. So if you get a duck that's a cripple and it's diving on you, is it okay to use LiveScope to look at that?
try to find it. That's brilliant. The tender boat's getting a LiveScope for sure.
Yeah.
Duck keeps diving. Where'd he go?
He's over here.
30 feet that way.
Drop a pin.
Well, then you could be ready with a shotgun, too, to clean up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know exactly where it's going. Yeah. That's brilliant, Joe. We're doing that.
Well,
that is a video for Fish Hunt Forever for sure. Oh, man. Well, we're looking forward to get back up there, and then we're looking forward to seeing you at the AGLOA Annual Conference here in a couple of weeks, Joe. But in the meantime, if people want to get a trip planned to Lake of the Woods, what should they do?
Come on up. Hey, check everything out. The hunting, the fishing we're talking about is all on our website, and that is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Northern Minnesota's Walleye Factory is a year-round world-class fishing destination. The perfect getaway this summer is just a short drive to Lake of the Woods. Fish Big Traverse Bay, the Rainy River, or visit the unique Northwest Angle. To catch big fish, you have to go where the big fish are. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
52 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt,
the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt.
Did you know there are more than 1,000 lakes in Otter Tail County?
Yep, and I'm going to fish as many as I can. I'm an outdoorsy otter. Nothing beats a full day of fishing for me. The lakes of Otter Tail County give me plenty of options to lower my boat and snag the perfect catch. Not an outdoorsy otter? No problem. Otter Tail County has something for everyone. You just need to find your inner otter.
To find your inner otter, go to OtterTailLakesCountry.com. Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. FTAC's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and eight colors. And iCast and FTAC's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Want to start saving money today? Then you're in luck. The 98Q Country Shopping Show is always available online on our website located at 98QCountry.com. Stop by and take a look at all the wonderful feature businesses such as local restaurants or fun shops located in Prentice, Mellon, Minocqua, Phillips, Park Falls, Butternut, Glidden, and all around the surrounding areas, offering everything from burgers to clothing. You can also tune into the 98Q Country Morning Show to hear them read live by our wonderful hosts. Save money with 98Q Country Shopping Show today.
Work, the kids' practices, household errands, seems like every hour's rush hour at our house. But no matter how busy things get, we still make balanced nutrition a priority with help from Country Hearth Natural Breads. Whole grains and other natural ingredients are carefully blended and baked into delicious, nutritious breads like Dakota-style 12-grain, multi-grain, and 100% whole wheat. There's a Country Hearth favorite for everyone in the family. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Visit Ken's Carpet Center in Phillips, Wisconsin, and get your best night's sleep on a Spring Air mattress set. Queen and full sizes on display with twin and king available. Plus, Ken will deliver no charge within 40 miles of Phillips. At Ken's, you're going to find several types of flooring and carpeting by Mohawk with installation right from the store. Also, shop a variety of consignment furniture and other unique items on display. Open 9 a.m. Monday through Saturday, Ken's Carpet Center is your K&B appliance outlet also. Stop in today or call Ken's Carpet at 715-339-4838 for measurements and installation. Ken's Carpet, right on Highway 13 in Phillips, Wisconsin.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. Overcast today with a chance for scattered showers. High of 67, winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered rain showers again tonight. Lows around 42, partly cloudy skies. Highs level off around 63 tomorrow. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Mainly sunny skies, calm and dry. Monday, clouds on the increase by Tuesday. Mid-60s, Monday, low 70s by Tuesday. Another look at the short range. Highs reach 67 today. Lows level off around 42 tonight. We should top off around 63 tomorrow. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley, and that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, 54.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
This is Sporting Journal Radio. Thank you for tuning in on the network. By demand, sportingjournalradio.com, or maybe you're watching this on YouTube. Thank you very much. It's Brett Amundson along with Dan Amundson and David Eckhart. And last week we talked with Greg Hoke from the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources about emergency haying and grazing in Minnesota and how often that happens and what effect that might have on various public lands around the state. Well, I want to find out what the situation was like in North Dakota. So Kevin Kading is joining us right now. He's the private lands coordinator with North Dakota Game and Fish. Kevin, how you doing?
Hey, good. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Thanks for coming on. I don't know if I'm assuming with the job that you have, I'm assuming we're about to start your favorite time of the year, just like for us.
It is. Yeah, it's the time we all look forward to. We work hard all spring and summer and looking forward to the next few months here. That's when we all get out and enjoy it.
I'll tell you what, I lived in North Dakota for a long time. I don't get over there very often or hardly at all anymore, mostly just passing through. But those two signs behind you were two of my favorite signs in North Dakota, particularly that triangle one. That Plots program is really what introduced me to the walk-in type programs that you'll have in various states. And man, I loved the Plots program in North Dakota. One of my favorite pictures, I know it ended up in, I think, a couple of different magazines, but one of my favorite pictures was holding a mallard, a snow goose, and a pheasant all in one in front of a plot sign. We camped near there and hunted on plots land for a couple of days one weekend and just had a lot of fun on that one property. It's a great program.
Cool. Well, that's great. I think a lot of people would agree with you there. A lot of hunters get a lot of enjoyment. A lot of people have that same experience. So that's good to hear.
And this isn't, and we don't have to go down this road, and I didn't prep you for this at all, but we've had a lot of discussion on the show recently about land access and access to hunters and creating more access. And, you know, public land is great, and in some states have more and some have less, and sometimes you get big tracts of it, like out in western North Dakota or northern Minnesota or Montana, things like that. But I feel like the walk-in programs, like plots in North Dakota or walk-in access that we have over here, that to me, I think, is really going to play a big role in the future of opening up access to more hunters around the region. And I don't know if you have a comment on that or not, but I just wanted to throw that out there. That's my thought on programs like plots.
Oh, I think I would have to agree with it. I mean, that's a lot of folks would agree that private land is, you know, especially in these northern plains states, that's what makes up, you know, we don't have a lot of public land, you know, generally speaking, compared to some of the western states like Montana, Idaho, and out west, you know. So we rely on private land to enjoy a lot of hunting and outdoor activities. And so these walk-in programs and hunting access programs will be more important as years go on.
Can you speak to the plots program a little bit, like who's eligible for that, what type of contracts there are, or how competitive the rates are, things like that?
Yeah, in short, I mean, without getting too far in the weeds, it's been around since the late 90s, you know, and it was kind of a response to when CRP came on the landscape, and there was a lot of increased hunting opportunities on CRP, and our pheasant populations were expanding, and things were just really good. And there was some troubles spots in the state where people were having a hard time getting access to lands for hunting. And so the legislature and our agency kind of responded with the plots program. And it's grown ever since. You know, we're still about 800,000 acres enrolled this year. At one time we had about 1 million acres, but that's because of some of that slippage with habitat on the landscape, and some of the land has just kind of gone back into egg production, things like that. But under plots, there's a couple different options for landowners to enroll. Generally speaking, if they're interested in just enrolling what they have, you know, if they don't really have the habitat out there, we probably wouldn't, you know, make them an offer. But sometimes there's just good enough habitat out on the landscape, maybe some cattail wetlands and some woody draws, different things like that, that are just good hunting attributes. And so that's just simply an access payment. And then there's on the other end of the spectrum where somebody wants to develop habitat and they want to plant grass or develop some type of a system out there to enhance the wildlife component or the habitat component. We work with people on that end too. And so then, you know, those payments start to go up a little bit. They're getting like a rental payment, and they're getting incentives, and they're getting cost share to plant the grass. And so some of those payments can get to be quite a bit more, but obviously they're giving up more too, and they're putting more work into it, developing that habitat. So the payments, again, without, you know, they range across the state, literally from $2 an acre to $120 or $130 an acre. And the only reason I say that is because of what I just described. If somebody just has cropland or hayland or some other lands like that that really aren't the highest of value, but there's some habitat and some hunting value out there, they're going to come in on that lower end, that $2 an acre, roughly somewhere in that ballpark. On the flip side is where I described, if somebody took cropland and they put it into grass, or they had some other habitat that they're developing, they're giving that up. They're taking that out of production, or they're taking it out of, you know, maybe not the best productive cropland to begin with. It's still in production, but it's in a wildlife habitat type development program instead. And so they're giving that up. And so that's going to be on that higher end of that rental payment. And then again, scattered throughout there's different incentives, different cost share and practices available to help cover the costs out of the pocket for the landowner too. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. I mean, we would literally have to look at a particular piece of land and sit down with each landowner and tell them what's available and what works best and what might be available to them. And each situation is a little different.
How is it funded? You know, in Minnesota, we have to buy a validation for walk-in access, and then we can also do some voluntary donations, which I always donate, try to give them money, because I think it's a good program to have out here. How is plots funded in North Dakota?
It's very similar. Most of the states that have access programs are funded with license dollars, and that's North Dakota's situation as well. So every time a hunter, whether it's a resident or non-resident, buys a North Dakota license, they're contributing to the plots program. I I don't have the details on, you know, each specific, you know, a dollar amount for, sure, for each license goes into that. But there's that. And then there's just interest off of the department's general fund, you know, so just money that we have in our bank account, essentially just that interest goes back into our private lands programs as well. There is donations. There's some money that comes in from people that donate, or when they buy their license, if they're unsuccessful at their draw, they can refund that. Instead of getting a refund to their bank account, they can just refund it back to us and donate it to plots. And so that's been on the uptick in the last 7-8 years as well too. So but primarily it's hunter dollars. It's not general taxpayers don't have a stake in this. This is hunters funding a habitat and conservation and access program.
You know, I'm not against a user fee model essentially like that, but I wish states would invest more in their natural resources such as that, whether it's the economic impact from, you know, either non-residents or residents just traveling to other parts of the state. You know, you look around North Dakota, some of those small towns, I mean, they live off the hunters in the fall. If the hunters didn't come through there in the fall, whether they be North Dakota residents or not, they would be even smaller or completely gone if it wasn't for some of those dollars. So there's definitely a big economic impact to it. But just investing in habitat in your state and keeping it wild and keeping it healthy, I don't want to tax people any more than they already are, of course, but I feel like we're taxed enough. You could use some of that money. I won't ask you to comment or respond to any of those what I'm talking about, but that's the way I feel about it. I did want to say, I'm sure you're aware of what's going on in South Dakota with the PATH program down there, which tax money on to people that are enrolled in their walk-in program down there. Do you foresee something like that happening in North Dakota?
There's always a possibility. Our private lands programs are constantly changing. We're trying to adjust to the situations out there. Nothing's ever the same. So yeah, maybe down the road, something like that could hit North Dakota. I'm not sure. We are always trying to be creative and think of new ways that we can entice landowners or make some incentives for them to be part of the program.
Man, those triangle signs, that just reminds me, like OnX was a big part of that PATH program this year down in South Dakota. And before OnX, when I would hunt in North Dakota, Game and Fish came out with a map that you could download from the website that had it was like OnX. And then I had an old Garmin GPS that I had in my truck, and I could download it from the website and upload it to my GPS, and it would show me where all the plots lands were around North Dakota. Man, that was so much fun driving around out there. I miss that state quite a bit, if I haven't mentioned that already. Well, why don't we take a quick break? We've got Kevin Kading with us. He's a private lands coordinator at North Dakota Game and Fish. I want to talk about when you might go on to some public lands or some plots lands to do some hay or grazing, or with the drought conditions that we've had, how that might affect some of those public lands out there. So more with Kevin when we come back.
Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. FTAC's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and 8 colors. And ICAST and FTAC's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Northern Minnesota's Walleye Factory is a year-round world-class fishing destination. The perfect getaway this summer is just a short drive to Lake of the Woods. Fish Big Traverse Bay, the Rainy River, or visit the unique Northwest Angle. To catch big fish, you have to go where the big fish are. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
852
million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt,
the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Medicare open enrollment starts October 15th. Countless mailers and TV commercials will tell you you're missing out on some benefits. But don't be tricked into an Advantage plan you don't need or that doesn't cover your current medication. Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol can help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Visit Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol online at smpwi.org.
Visit Ken's Carpet Center in Phillips, Wisconsin, and get your best night's sleep on a Spring Air mattress set. Queen and full sizes on display with twin and king available. Plus, Ken will deliver no charge within 40 miles of Phillips. At Ken's, you're going to find several types of flooring and carpeting by Mohawk with installation right from the store. Also, shop a variety of consignment furniture and other unique items on display. Open 9 a.m. Monday through Saturday, Ken's Carpet Center is your K&B appliance outlet also. Stop in today or call Ken's Carpet at 715-339-4838 for measurements and installation. Ken's Carpet. Right on Highway 13 in Phillips, Wisconsin.
Great food, great entertainment, all summer long, and an outdoor bar and music venue to enjoy it all at the Badger's Den Sports Bar and Grill on County Road W in Phillips, Wisconsin. Wing it up at the Den with Wing Ding Wednesdays, Thursday steak night featuring 16-ounce ribeyes, Friday fish fry with beer batter parmesan crusted cod. And be sure to stick around for late night happy hour from 8 to midnight with $2 domestics and $5 tall mixers and house recipe pizzas available anytime at the Badger's Den Sports Bar and Grill on County Road W, where it's never a question of whether or not there's entertainment, but who's playing this weekend.
Attorney Joe Cordell.
Divorce forces a father to focus on what's most important, his children. You may no longer be a husband, but you'll always be a dad. In the divorce process, this comes down to three key concerns: physical custody, decision making, as well as financial support. Each of these is important, and it's important that you choose a lawyer that cares as much about these issues as you do.
Schedule an appointment with one of Cordell & Cordell's Madison area attorneys. 8040 Excelsior Drive, Suite 403, Madison, Wisconsin, 53717. CordellCordell.com.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. Overcast today with a chance for scattered showers. High of 67, winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered rain showers again tonight. Lows around 42, partly cloudy skies. Highs level off around 63 tomorrow. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Mainly sunny skies, calm and dry. Monday, clouds on the increase by Tuesday. Mid-60s, Monday, low 70s by Tuesday. Another look at the short range. Highs reach 67 today. Lows level off around 42 tonight. We should top off around 63 tomorrow. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley. And that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, 54.
Wendy's new breakfast 2 for $3 biggie bundles let you create your own delicious combo. Choose from a sausage biscuit, egg and cheese biscuit, small seasoned potatoes, and a medium hot coffee. But it's obvious which combo's the best. Sausage biscuit and small seasoned potatoes. Well, maybe it's the fresh cracked egg and cheese biscuit with a medium hot coffee. Or two savory sausage biscuits. Whichever you pick, you can't go wrong. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's new 2 for $3 biggie bundles.
Limited time only. U.S. price and participation may vary. Not valid in a combo. Single item at regular price.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're back, Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in. Wherever you're getting this show right now, or maybe you're watching this on YouTube, thank you very much. Our guest right now is Kevin Kading, the private lands coordinator with North Dakota Game and Fish, talking about plots and hunting access and what situations might arise when we have drought-like conditions where you may have some sort of emergency hang or grazing type situation. Kevin, and I don't know how long you've been in that position, but with that giant wet cycle that North Dakota went through from, you know, like the 90s until, I suppose it up till fairly recently, you probably haven't had to worry about this too much, but with how dry it's been the last couple of years, what type of, you know, how often have you had to have some emergency situations like that?
You know, I've been doing this for quite a while, actually. I've been through the dry stuff and the wet years, too, and so I've kind of seen both ends of it, and I guess, I mean, if you're asking me personally, I would rather see nothing more than, I would wish we never had to have emergency haying or grazing mentioned, because I wish we didn't have to get in that situation, and we're in that situation because there just isn't as much grass on the landscape as there used to be. I think in some ways we've become a little bit too dependent on this, on that, I don't know, a false, you know, situation where we got grass out there in a program like CRP and other programs like the Plots program, things like that, that was meant to be, you know, should be there for wildlife as well as a forage reserve too. But there's every year is a little different. You know, we have some years where there's very little haying or grazing going on, and we get, you know, we kind of get in the middle of that sometimes because hunters will look at it and wonder why we're haying or why we're grazing, why there's cows on something, and why there's a hay binder out there. What's going on? You know, and a lot of it is, you know, there's so much situational stuff that goes on there. Sometimes it's, you know, it might be a land that's in plots, but it might be a part that we're not even paying much of a payment on. It's just that access payment. We don't pay for management. We don't necessarily have management control over every acre on plots. Again, it kind of gets back to that description I was talking earlier. Some of this is just access. It's very minimal payment. So we don't really get in the way. Other cases where we've paid, you know, like I mentioned, the hundred and some dollars an acre to rent land to plant to grass, we have much more of a prescription, more of a prescriptive management plan developed for those acres that they have to follow. And that, you know, that makes sense. So in those cases, we have more management authority and the ability to kind of dictate what goes on out there. But the reality is this is the Northern Great Plains. We're a grassland-dominated landscape. Haying and grazing can be detrimental, but it can also be very beneficial. It's kind of that fine line. With a lot of the land that's enrolled in plots, there's some stuff that's built into their agreement that's kind of right in their management plan that allows them to hay a third every year. And that's pretty reasonable. We still have two-thirds of the cover, and we get some good management out there. And landowners can have, you know, it's been pretty well received by landowners that they know there's some certainty they can have some hay. And if it's a really bad year, yeah, we can sit down with them and review those management plans and make adjustments to it on a one-year type thing. But biggest thing that comes in is when you have some of these really bad years and 100% of something gets taken off or the cover gets hayed, then obviously a hunter shows up and you go, why am I giving my money to Game and Fish for this, you know? But, you know, I would just encourage people, pick up the phone and call us, because there's probably some, explanation as to what's going on out there. At first glance, you probably look and go, well, why would I pay the Game and Fish a license fee that goes into plots for this?
Right.
But we can usually explain what's going on.
Yeah. How often? So you might just be paying a couple of dollars per acre just for access, and then the landowner's managing that himself, right? So it was a very, very small investment on your part to open that up for hunters.
Right. Yeah, that's probably the, you know, everybody kind of wants to paint plots with the same brush and go, well, geez, I'm paying this money for it, and it should all be the same quality, the same habitat, and that's not the case. Everything's a little different. I don't have an example, but if there was a quarter section, 160 acres, and there was 40 acres of hayland out there, and the landowner wants to continue haying it, you know, to make hay for it, you know, that, or make hay, that's what he's going to do. We pay a couple bucks an acre for that, but maybe there's a, you know, a draw on the other side that is a really good habitat that we're leasing for, you know, the value. That's what we're really trying to get, you know, the hayland is just part of the contract to square up the offer, to make it easy for hunters to know where the signs go. We can't just lease the little piece of woody draw on the back because you couldn't legally describe it. It'd be hard for hunters to know where they can and can't be. And so a lot of times we just enroll the whole quarter. But again, with that comes the 40 acres of hayland, and people think, geez, that's a waste of money. But
yeah,
you know, we're getting you the good stuff on the backside of that, you know, and there's situations like that it's hard to explain when everybody just sees the yellow square on their onyx or the plots map or the little symbol for the plots in the onyx, and they think they should go out there and there should be, you know, chest high CRP type grass with everywhere out there, but every situation is a little different.
That's a great explanation that I bet the majority of people don't realize that's how that works. Because, you know, you may not see that draw. By the way, can you tell me where that draw is?
You know, about 10 so years ago, 10, maybe a dozen years ago, we started what we called the Working Lands Program. And it was for that exact reason. We had a lot of lands that were enrolled in or that were under ag or ranching. You know, they're being farmed or grazed, but they had really good components out there. And at first we got a lot of criticism, like, why would you put a native prairie pasture? Why would you put that in our program? And it's, you can, you know, we always get the comments, it's grazed down to the nubs and there's cows out there. And we'd always tell people, did you walk over the hill, you know, or there's a cropland field with nothing but a stubble field. Well, did you go out in the middle of that or in the back corner? There's two really nice wetlands out there, some wetlands embedded in there that could be used for field hunting. And, you know, you just kind of have to remember that the plots program started out in the heyday years of CRP and high pheasant numbers. And that's what we were enrolling, was CRP with a lot of pheasant hunting opportunities. And then we kind of transitioned to more than just pheasants, you know, waterfall hunting for, you know, field hunting for waterfall, pronghorn, you know, pastures for mule deer and woody draws and all these other things that people seek out. But it was just a change. It was different than what they were used to seeing with plots.
If somebody does put some cattle on a on state ground or whatever, does some grazing, who's responsible for, say, the fencing or funding of the fencing?
Again, wide variety there. If you're talking on state-owned lands, that's kind of like the lands that we own. That's a little different than if you're talking land that's in our private land access programs. In that case, it's their responsibility. It's their land. There's programs out there that we can help facilitate to find them cost share for fencing and water development and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of opportunities out there. Our agency right now is kind of working on this bigger effort. It's called the Metallurg Initiative. And it's really to kind of bring awareness to the importance of grazing and ranching and the benefits that it does provide wildlife. And again, a lot of hunters might not make that connection. A lot of them do, though, because they understand that if you've got cows, you've got grass. If you've got grass, you've got birds. And if it's well-managed grass, you've got more opportunity for better nesting and more production for birds. And so, and it's not just about Metallurgs. That's just what we use, because the Metallurg is our state bird. It's kind of the ambassador for native prairie grasslands. A lot of recognition. A lot of people understand it. A lot of people grew up listening to Metallurgs. And again, back when, you know, we used to have a lot of grass on the landscape, there was a lot of Metallurgs. That's not the case anymore. The eastern third of the state is, you hardly find them anymore. Grazing can certainly be a benefit, but yeah, we, you know, we do put a lot of restrictions on that and work with the producers to make sure it's being done in the right way. Whether it's on the plots land or whether it's on state-owned wildlife management areas, we utilize grazing on our state lands as well for management reasons as well. So
sure, and rotational grazing, obviously people know the benefits of that, and it has a very positive impact on the landscape. When it comes to that, though, are there types of fences that are allowed? You know, I guess specifically, is barbed wire still used in situations like that, or does fencing come down? Does it stay up? Is there an opportunity to get rid of barbed wires, I guess, for a guy that does a lot of hunting with dogs?
Yeah, it's not the most ideal when you come across those, especially when they're so tight you can't even stretch them down to get through them. But, I mean, there's a lot more of the temporary fencing being used. A lot of the really progressive guys are utilizing this just a temporary, I can't think of the name right now, like a ribbon, you know, it's like a poly wire type stuff. And they put it up and take it down, very quick to put up and take down. They move cows a lot more frequently than they used to. You know, a lot more emphasis on kind of that kind of angle instead of just putting cows out in spring and bringing them home in the fall, being more managed, you know, pastures and smaller paddocks. And that's certainly a benefit, again, to wildlife and wildlife habitat. So, yeah, there's still some barbed wire being used out there. But, you know, on a lot of our state-owned lands, there's some of that smooth wire, too, that's used just because, you know, because of that reason we have, you know, our wildlife areas are designed for wildlife production first and foremost. And so we have that in mind because we know there's going to be hunters out there, and, you know, ranchers is probably a little different view because they want to make sure their cows aren't getting out and they're putting up barbed wire fence, but a little different.
perspective.
But I feel like even you drive around a field with barbed wire, there's still a cow on the road. Especially
in North Dakota. Yeah, well.
That's the way it goes.
That's how it is, I guess, but there's always a section of fence that's always a problem. It's too low or too wet or something. There's always fence to fix out there.
One of my favorite pictures from years ago driving around scouting for waterfowl was just getting stopped in the middle of the road, and there's just like 50 cows on this little gravel road out in the middle of nowhere. But all right, Kevin, we're going to let you go, but I appreciate the time today and explaining the situation out there. I miss those yellow triangle signs. I'm going to have to get back up there to North Dakota and do some hunting up there once again, maybe this year. But people can find out more information about the program on the Game and Fish website, I'd assume.
Yep, go on our website, and I saw you had it posted there a few times, but there's contacts for all of our private land staff out there. If you're in that region, maybe give them a call first, and then if nothing else, they can always call me at the state office here. We'll find an answer for them.
Very good. Kevin Kading, thanks for the time today on the show.
You bet. No problem. Thanks.
Sporting Journal Radio is a division of Macaba LLC. If you missed any part of the show and want to listen to it again, or maybe hear an extended version of some of these interviews, you can download the podcast. Go to sportingjournalradio.com. Or you can watch this show on YouTube or Facebook. Search for Sporting Journal Radio.